I'd like to dedicate this year to this Nishmas to Shiva Zatzal, young Danish Ben Yehuda, Ben Eliezer Yehuda. Still difficult to get my thoughts together after correctly straight from the Levaya. He was a man that, even within his yeshiva, I've been in his yeshiva now 14 years, he was not very well known. He was a person that was such a tzemua, bidrochov, that except for maybe his wife and maybe a little bit his children, there was probably nobody in the world who really knew who this person was. We didn't know b'chayov, and probably there are people that were master masayim, but after maybe Essen comes out, I'm sure during the week of Shiva we'll hear those little stories here, little stories there. But he was a person who was kulei tzanua. He was a person of Aras Hashem, kulei lishmo, which is directly related to our Mishnah. Kulei lishmo, he was a person who took nothing for himself ever. Even when he went, for example, little idea that I happen to know, he went a few times to America in his lifetime for the yeshiva. Last time was just about a year ago. But the plane ticket he paid out of his own pocket. Never took a salary from the yeshiva. Never took anything from the yeshiva. However, one of his secrets is how he survives and where he had his money from. But that's known from the people in the office that there was more money in this year's account than the fundraisers raised. And whatever other money was there is what he brought in. Not from people, not that he collected from other people. Where did it come from? How did he function? I heard from one of his sons-in-laws after his wife gave birth. So he was staying in the house there. He got up at 2 in the morning, and he saw in the other room where his father-in-law, who was sitting and learning. He saw from his bed, he was able to see that he was sitting and learning. So he wasn't sleeping, so he got up. So he heard the rustling, by the time he got to the other room, this farmer closed, and he was like playing with the stove. He oh, you also up? Let's make a cup of coffee, you know. Everything was b'siya hesta, b'siya tznius, b'ein b'in al-mechaveh, b'in al-mokhi, b'tayrosai. He's a person that it's very difficult for us to understand who he was. This is even for the Talmidim, the people that were mamash in his yeshiva for years and years. I had many of the time contacts with him. Many, many occasions that I spoke to him. But you can never, it was always a mystery. You never know where he was coming from and where he was going to. There's a Pirush on our Mishnah, which is maybe skipping a few steps, but since it's so appropriate to Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, on the Mishnah that we're learning of Avodim Shalaya Manas Lakal Pras. So the Ruach Chaim, Chaim Golozhin, has about five different mahalchim over here of how to learn the different aspects up here. The fifth, which I wasn't planning to learn until this evening, is one of a very interesting idea, maybe a little bit of a side point to the way the Derech Kloli that we want to learn the Mishnah, but we're going to learn it inside. This was a Pesach to understand these type of Aperik people. V'sakad oi loim al tiyuk avonim sharm shen sarab, Rashi Pirush, the koil skar oi lamazeh. They should be mishamish esarav in order to get schar oilam hazeh. Which is a chiddush. Usually we think that we're talking about schar oilam habo. Schar oilam hazeh, that for mitzvah is schar by alma leko. Schar oilam hazeh, that's secondary. That's a periseyan by oilam hazeh. It's not the real schar. any real schar for real mitzvahs, it's not by Lamazir. For sure you get paid for their mitzvahs by Lamazir. That it says, Ayim Shemoy Tishmi, Shainim already explained that it means that when you work for the company pays the expenses. That's not schar. When you work for Coca-Cola, and they give the Coca-Cola outfit, the Coca-Cola truck, right? And they pay the gas bill, the company pays the expenses. When your life is the life of the Reis Hashem, so the Baishan pays the expenses, and you're working for the company. So what do we mean of making a point? Rashi says, El Mazeh, Niva Shazel Mekushu Mekhu Belayel and Rasha Omrim Al Gmiras Chasodim. In the Mishnah before this, the last thing was the Omrim Al Gmiras Chasodim. So he says as follows, very new understanding of the Omrim Al Gmiras Chasodim. We have in Torah Mufurish that if a person is Mekayim Torah, Pasuk after Pasuk, person is Mekayim Torah, you have Kol Inyan Yoelam Azeh. Why is it we find both as expressed in this Mishnah? And through history, that some of the greatest Shomrei Torah were Aniyim Meduchim. They lived in great Dachlus. What? I mean, it doesn't seem to fit what it says in the Torah. Aval Tamhu, Ki b'shoyish kol ha-mitzvahs ma'orin rav toyi v'shefa otzim b'chol ha-olam ha-yisim ma'orin mozun v'revach. When a person does mitzvahs, that brings down all of the panosa and the revach and the toyi that there is in the world, each mitzvah has this effect. If everybody would be doing all of the mitzvahs, so then there would be sufficient shefa v'toyif brought down in the world that there would be no more aniyim in the world. Achim oisei ha-mitzvahs mu'atim. There's only, relative to the amount of people around, few oisei ha-mitzvahs. V'ein tzinoyim l'shefa v'toyif. Rak me'amatim. There's only the pipelines are jammed. There's only a few clean pipelines where the Shefa can come down through, because not everybody's doing the mitzvahs. V'Hashem Yisboch V'Rach M'Chofetz Chesed Shiyeh Chayim V'Shefa L'Chol B'nei Odom Gam La'inim Uriyah. He wants all of Yidden and all of the world to live. But you only get any bracha that gets in the world, it has to be a product of mitzvahs. The only way to bring anything down, the Baishim gave the keys of the world into man's hand. And the Baishim only brings down any toif in any form, as a product of man's avodah. So what do you do if there's only few Ibn Hashem around relative to the world? V'noitel ha-shefa me'ama'atim ha-sridim yori Hashem u'mechalak l'chol b'nei Odom. Those yichidim that are doing the avodah Hashem, that are bringing down the shefa and the toiv and the panos and the chayim and the refuah for heaven, the Hashem takes their shefa and gives it out all over the whole world. Up to the degree that he gives it all up to the one who brought it all down. He doesn't, there's nothing left to him. Gemasha Kosov al Chanina ben Doisa, Kol Oilam Kuloi Nizoyim Bishul Chanina Beni, Bechanina Beni Yidailoi Bechav Charuvim. The whole world has the panosa because of Chanina, it's talking about Tana, Chanina ben Doisa. Chanina ben Doisa, he ate, a kilo of charuvim from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. That was his panos. V'chiyak tzinuroi ha-yomoyi shafel o'ilam l'atzul ha-yom igiyo k'ayim estapu b'nuot. He didn't take anything for himself. He says, for me, a kaf charuvim is enough. The rest, give out to the rest of the world. V'lechak magiyo l'tzadei chelik ha-rosh v'gan eden. There is a cheshb. It says that the Rishoyim who lose the Chelik and Adam Haba, so what happens to the Chelik and Adam Haba? So the Tikim are Yogesh the Chelik HaRosha. So it's not Stav and Matonic, he earned it. How did Rosha go around the world for all these years? Where did he eat his tomatoes from? He ate the Shef of the Tzaddik. Now he'll pay him back. Which world did the Tzaddik choose? Or the Mubo. He was willing to give up Oilam Mubo. Which world did the Rosha choose? Well, that was it. He's willing to give up with him. Fine, so the Baruch Hashem makes a deal. You take with him, I said. This is an old deal. We went back to Esau and Yaakov Avinu. They were fighting a chiluk ha'olamos, and they came to a pshara. Yaakov Avinu will take Olam Haba, and Esau will take Olam Haza. It wouldn't be that Yaakov stole the brachas. Yitzhak wanted to give the brachas out in this form. Maybe we wouldn't be left nothing. We wouldn't have anything in this world. And all Esau would have it all. Because Rabbeinu Shem knew that we wouldn't be able to stand that type of advantage, and Esau would not, would be that terrible that it would not allow us to exist, even with it all. So he arranged that we should get the brachas. And we have some mahalach echeta melem hazeh also. But that old chalukah between melem hazeh and melem hazeh still exists. So if the goyim have melem hazeh, but that the pasuk it says in the one, the goyim is chashiv. Rashi says that oichlin bechelik shekol echad echad ve'el oichlin min aminyan. In every generation, in every society, in the, although there are ups and downs in the societies and Jewish history, there was always a golden period, right? And during the golden period, the Jews go with the wave. They're on top with the wave. That usually is the beginning of all the tzoras, and that's what brings the next down. But the whole life in Eichlin, the Shaisim, the Kalech Shokalech, the Echad, the Ein Eidon, it's a special Hanhoga of advice. Oh, why? What else? I mean, it's a din like it. The Vaisham gives us out because it looks the other way. We did all the toiv that the goyim have in the first place. Even the goyim. Yeah. They're all nizan yechun chanina b'ni. Kol o'ilam, those are only Jews. Kol o'ilam nizan yechanina b'ni. So, chanina was at the madrega that he was able to give it all away, and he was left to kaf l'bruvim. Klai saw as a whole, it's not always in that madrega. And we're oichel. We take our chelik, but we take it from their chelik and it goes off their cheshbon. But it's bedin because the whole chelik came from us. He says this is a new idea. So you can have a person who sits in dollar by dollar in his room someplace, never goes out, it's only betuchim, never gave a penny of tzedakah because he never had a penny. Or just the minimum, whatever, in the time. And he is the avir voice of the good son of the world. Because over there in America someplace, they're making millions. You know why? This guy's sitting here. An Apikoros is a person who says, my honey, I won. Apikoros is the worst word we have in the dictionary. This person who's—he's not part of Klai Yisrael. He's outside of the basic definition of what Klai Yisrael is made of. What's a mistake? Everything Hashem Yitayim mitzvahs. He's going Yitayim himself. He just says, you know, this Rosh Hashiva someplace. Even his Talmidim didn't know what he was. All right, Hashem. But what? So what? I mean, like, you know, what's in his family? So he was here, so now he isn't here. We have to, of course, each person has a chas v'shalom, nobody's a nichshol, we have to work against it. The teva is that when we don't see things, we only see with our chushim. Right? We don't see. I did learn this yeshiva. I didn't go to yeshiva. Right? I didn't have that direct contact with a regular Rebbe Talmud relationship. True, I have to give my course a type. In particular, every month I got my coil check. He had responsibility for that. He was the highest one. But somebody didn't learn any yeshiva. New people sitting here. What are you all in? So the person. Very nice. It's very respectable. He was here. He earned himself a nice chayit on the Havbo, and then Baruch Hashem, he's finally getting it. What was it going to do with me? It's very easy for us to disconnect ourselves and not to see the relationship, especially when a person who spent his whole life making sure that nobody ever gave him any credit. We used to watch him, and once I realized that he used to come in, for example, Meir in Yeshiva. So he would come to Davin Meir when he was still healthy. When I was a boss, I used to have this before I got sick. He would walk in the second that the Shliach Tzibur got up to say Boho. It was always, it was like 1 o'clock. Why didn't come in a minute before? It would come in before people would stand up. If he would come in, right, a minute afterwards, right, he'd miss Boho. Right. So he came in. As soon as the Shliach Tzibur started putting on the talus, everybody gets up, then he walked in. This was a Seder Kavanah. And everything was done like that, he just happened to walk in there. Nobody, I don't know if anybody ever managed to stand up for it. it just didn't come out. It didn't work that way. I was speaking to two of my friends, who are Rabbi Tzitayr, they have yeshivas, or Rav yeshivas. They were just, they were before him a few weeks ago when he was still classical conversation with Rabinish. So they spoke to him, whatever they came to speak about. And in the end, they wished him a full shleima. And they said, you know, Misha Rabin Tzvichinui. Kleisel's dependent on him. So it's kind of comment that he wouldn't take saying down. What does he do with it? He said, oh, you're right, you should go. You know, the Rabin Tzvichinui. It meant you, right? You shouldn't spend time here. Go back to yeshivas. Have him here. Yeah, go back. You know? I was many times under different my friend's chuppas when he was Masada Kedushin. And one thing I noticed is that Masada Kedushin, to say that, I don't know how many times. But at many, many occasions, I saw it, I recognized after a while, so many occasions I was there to be close enough to hear what's going on. That his Seder Kavua was that he would say jokes into the chuppah until he had the chosn kala laughing. After he got them laughing, then he started Seder Kedusha. So the people didn't understand who had been. Well, that's. It was unbelievable. But he knew how to use this koyach. A lot of times I had different kufas, I had my heart kufas, the bocher, different kufas, I would come in. The first thing before he talked about your problems is to make jokes. Right? And you can't help it. You have the worst problems in the world, but he has good jokes. After you laughed, now you can hear your problems, and you see that the problem isn't so big anymore. Right? You got a good laugh, a good chuckle, maybe a cup of coffee, a piece of cake. Now, what is it that you were? Now you tell me, you think you're late, so you go home, you go, what happened? Second, I had a big problem that came in. What was it? I once was in the Bocha Yeshiva, as many years ago, and I was one of the few Americans that the Israelis went home, and generally the Americans also went home, especially Pesach. And for the few of us who didn't have like anywhere to go, so there was supposed to be something set up, and usually there was. But this particular time, something kind of happened, and there was only like three of us, and like we realized, oh my, that we didn't have where to go. So we were like really upset about it, you know. They didn't know exactly what to do, you know. We'll go knock on somebody's friend's door and say, like, we don't have what to eat, like, maybe we can cut this up. All right. So I decided I'll go to the Shiva and tell them that, you know, there was a misunderstanding and this and that, you know, misunderstanding. So I walk in the door, before I say anything, he says, where are the other Bochum? I said, didn't they tell you that you're supposed to be eating by us? I went back afterwards to check on it. No. Just put it together. By the time I walked in the door, I said, what is he doing here? It's lunchtime. Right. Why isn't he by where he's supposed to be? Ah, right. Stomach missing. I said, he doesn't have to be. Where are they? So instead of coming to complain, so he told me to go get the book. But at that time, the book was as soon as Malachim on the table. One of his sons-in-law was there at the time. A few years later, he told me, he said, you probably think it was leftovers from their lunch. They didn't have that good food. Said, as soon as I went out, I told the reps to take out of the freezer the good stuff. And by the time we were there, we ate up whatever we were supposed to have for Yom Tov. This was like a sidron by him. Warm ketanim, that everything was azeh kacha and behavlo. He couldn't notice bechal. A person who was kula yishmo never took anything for himself. Would not let anybody ever give him credit for anything. Never. And he took, you know, there's this attitude of people like, Aletzah. But he would make jokes, he'd feel good to do it, but he's nothing. Good, his father was the Shiva, so okay, he's also a Shiva. He would always make jokes like this. And when I was younger years, I believed him, because I didn't. The whole of him, it should be a limit for us, so that. When I was preparing last week, I admit I didn't prepare today, but when I was preparing last week, I noticed this piece. I thought it was an interesting idea, but I didn't think I would get to it. But tonight, it hits me as mamish. We don't know what we lost. We don't know what we had. I don't think anybody does. I don't know exactly what we're going to hear in this, but in a little bit. Nearly minigas every day of the week. They don't want different people come. I don't know if there's anybody's going to have what to say. Yeah. What can I say about a person who totally hid himself? Suppose that Rosh Hashiva is a place to go, those people had advice with him in Tzorchit Zibor, so that when you came to big things like you couldn't do anything, they probably got. But the whole life in a person. What we have to know is that we have to always remind ourselves that things don't necessarily look the way they are. And things are not the way they look. Maya Hanigar Abonan is apikorsis. What's the yisayd of apikorsis? Because we understand that we get our panosa, right, with good in business, we did our ashtalas, we get our panosa. We did a bunch of favor, we came, we davened in the morning. That's where our panosa came from. We go to a shir, we go to this. Wow, I'm telling you, the donation still owes me some more than Rabbi. Not only did he give me a panasa, but wait till I get upstairs, I'm going to give him the bill. Look at all these mitzvahs I've done. I gave out of the money that I earned out of my brilliance. All the donation really owes me a lot. We have to remind ourselves that the very hatzlachas, the very simple good, the simple good of life, panasa, health, children, felvayas, all of these simple things that we take for granted and make up normal, healthy, and good life. It's very possible that the Rosh Hashiva sitting there in his 2x0 room, you have to see these type of apartments, you have to believe it. The people that the whole world stands on. He brought up 5 children in 2.5 rooms. And he had to bring in a few years, so he made sure that they were such a big apartment, And the whole world, they've been supported by his tayyar, by his maisim tayyarim. Sometimes there are maisim where, because we see things happening afterwards, we can sometimes put it together, and we can get a glimpse of some of the cause effect, the ruchnidiki cause effect. Especially by the Ben Shalom Shalom, chances are, Kemeshu Oyo, Godel Tzadikim Yisosim Yisri Chayim, if he was such a Tzenua, Bechayov, chances are, no, he's going to happen now when he's also. He'll continue with dark. I'm not expecting to hear anything during this, but that's really going to explain to us what it is that we lost. But we have to know. We have to, it's part of the Yisoyda Amuna of Klai Yisrael, to know that we lost, we don't always have the opportunity to know. And that our appreciation for Torah and for Lim Deah, the Talmid HaChovim Tzadiki Ado, has to come not because of the direct benefit that we individually might have. Right? But we have to know that as a Klai Yisrael exists and is nizo in both poshut begashmius and certainly beruchnius from the gedolim, from the tzaddikim. And any gadol, any tzaddik, a person on the other side of the world, we had no contact with, we weren't part of his, whatever you want to call it, miskeret, we weren't part of his chasidus, or his this, or his that. So sometimes a person thinks, oh, this is not my. Because he's missing understanding the sight of Klai Yisrael, which says that this world is not run by Koichav Yodi, but everything in this world, and here it's said in such a sharp form, everything in this world, all the toiv in the world, has to have a mekor. It doesn't come stuck. And therefore, where would we be? We would have to rely on our own ways. We would have to come and get our mezonos, our poshut chay, our boni chay and mezoni because of our own ways. But the Baruch Shem Ruach Kodesh Baruch Hu Shatzadikim Vatim Veishtilim Bechol Dor Vado. The Baruch Shem Ruach Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that the tzaddikim of this level are not that many. So instead of having them all come down in one door, he dished them out, and he saved one for every door. The Alman Yisrael, just like maybe until now we didn't know exactly what we lived on, we still won't know. There are other tzaddikim. There's another tzaddik someplace. There is the klal of the Lein Dei Torah, which even if individually they are on the highest levels, but as a klal, Chaim Shmulevitz, Rosh Hashanah used to say, that a yeshiva is a god of a dog. A yeshiva. So there, I saw this. There are times that when he was preparing his shows, or his, he used to go up the wall and discuss it. So we think that sometimes, like, you know, whatever, alright. But B'chol Evin, he would explain that the walls of the yeshiva contained within it are also the yeshiva. And yeshiva is a god of a dog. The klal of all of the people together, there's a tzibur there. They unify. There's a one achdus that comes as a matter of all of these individuals that make up a yeshiva. Maybe yeshiva is one of the biggest yeshivas in the world. Yeshiva that's unbelievably crowded. So it's a sight to see. Maybe you should come someday. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. Seven wonders of the world. Yeshiva is a god of the door. Torah, I'm there. Kihem chayenu v'rechiminus kipshutai, the Torah that we learn ourselves. And we have to realize that not necessarily are we zeicha, do we have that type of quality in our ma'isim to bring and to merit the chayim tovim that we're zeicha to on our own. And we have to always be toilet, know that our part when we sit down to breakfast, it's very possible that whose breakfast are we eating? There's some tzaddik somewhere, or the combination of all the tzaddikim, all the Torah alone there. And this is Befrat Torah. The source of the etzim life. The etzim chius. That we live. The fact that we have Oyach Yamim. That we're not all sick and dying. The reason that we have the capability of continuing functioning, the Baruch Hu gives us a chance to do tshuva on our chatoyim, and to earn our chelik, the fear of Avodah, this is chus, the yichidim, the tzaddikim, the leim deitayr of the door, Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shein Wa'atim, V'shtilim, V'chaldam, V'modom. So, let's go back now to attempt to understand a little bit the Mishnah. We'll try to get to the main point. We'll do it a little shortcut, but the toichen of this Mishnah. We spoke last week, we explained the taina that the Talmidim Toyim took from this Mishnah and where they went. And there's a svara that needs an answer. There's a svara that said, Hayim Yesh Poyel Sha'ivit Kol Yoyim V'loim Kawai Svara. If the person works all day and doesn't come at the end, where's his paycheck? So there are lists of answers here given in the Mefarshim that all run around similar points. We'll just maybe point out short a few of the different halachim and then try to get to the core issue. One mashal that the Ruach HaKodesh gives: if a person is a professional, and he's called in to do a job. So he collects his fitting paycheck, and he's finished the work. However, if he is not yet sufficiently educated in his profession, and he's doing stage by the higher level professional in his field, where he's learning to do his job, he's learning to become what he's supposed to be, so that person is going to send him off to do usually the dirty work of the profession, the harder part of it, and they let him do the more difficult part of the work. And at the end of the day, instead of getting paid for it, he's going to pay him salim. Are there no poilim that work without getting paid? So the first answer is yes, there are. There are poilim that work without getting paid. This is one example. Another example. President of the United States walks into a city. He's going out to meet the crowds. He goes out, handshakes, I don't think he's doing it anymore. And gets a little tired, and he says, is there anybody who could bring me maybe a glass of soda? 50 people dash off in all directions. And the one who was a little quicker on the sprint, or had the opportunity more, and he was the one who brought the President of the United States a cup of soda, he's not going to stretch out his hand and ask him, okay, that'll cost you $6.50. I don't know. He's going to go around, maybe the next 60, 70 years, telling his friends, his children, his grandchildren. Remember that day the President Roosevelt came, and you know who got it? I got him. The President of the United States doesn't work so good, because even the President of the United States would also work, but we don't have a real musik of what Kavod Malachim is. The President of the United States is pretty sure. The only real saga of Kavod Amiti that still exists is Mein Malchir Rabbanan. And this, anybody who's been in contact, you have the opportunity to be in close contact with anybody of the great Gedolei Olam of our generation. If it would so happen that the circumstances would allow it, that he ever asked you for a favor, if that should happen, this is something that you would consider a great schus. It's not, people fight over these things. But nobody's going to go back to the goal afterwards and say, this is another idea. The very fact that we are enabled to be of service to somebody of such greatness is more than sufficient. The person doesn't ask for any secondary reward. Another mashal. A person was kidnapped as a baby and taken off by the pirates to some desert island. And he was raised for a number of years as a slave. Until a wonderful person came along one day and redeemed him from slavery and brought him to his house and gave him food and clothes and respect, educated him, brought him up, married him off. And one day he asked him to help him in his business. He needs a help for half a day. He needs some help. He's not in the office. You can give him a bill? 1 second. How do I know my profession? He taught it to me. He sent me to school. If it wouldn't be for him, I would be in by the pirates, a slave. I owe him. So finally, Baruch Hashem was able to pay something back. A mashu, I sent him a bill. Well, yeah, greater kofuk toiv in the world than the little minute toiv that person did to this tremendous benefactor of his He'll go and send him a bill. One time he was able to do something. Ooh, something. I should go across the text, send him a bill. We take all of these Mishalim and put them back to the Rabbani Shalom. It's Poshet. Rabbani Shalom says it himself. He says, whoever put up a mezuzah until I gave him a house, whoever made a bris milah until I gave him a son, whoever took from us a maishas until I gave him a field, whoever came into the world until I brought him into the world. So before we got started, the hegemon is like, you know, the hakaras hatoiv that we have to the Baruch Hu, for the chesed that we was given to us till up to today. It's so overwhelming that any understanding, if we can understand what is it that the Baruch Hu has out of our avodah. But let's say he needs it for some reason. So he set up the system now, whatever the answer is. But relative to the chesed already received, and relative to the dependency that we are now, are we self-sufficient? Are we still in stage? Are we still dependent on our mentor, the Rabbani Shalom, to help us through life? So we're working for him. He owes us something. So there are many other similar such understandings. I'm trying to be katzer. The basic assumption is wrong. The assumption that the Rabbani Shalom owes us midin, anything for our avodah, is total ridiculousness. That was the source of the apikorsis, of the question that Tzadik and Baitus said, is that they consider themselves poyalim. Poyal? Anaya poyal. Find a poyal. You can send the Rabbani Shalom a bill. And if you find out that he doesn't pay in the end, then forget it. You're not working. You have something wrong. You're not a boy. You only exist in this world as Chazda. You only are able to function through the Rabbani Shalom's Koyach. You already owe the Rabbani Shalom much more than anything you're going to be able to pay back. So you owe, the Rabbani Shalom owes you your poil. This is the simple understanding of the Mishnah, but not the deeper understanding. This is the pshat. The pshat of the Mishnah is that Antonius is coming to tell us, to try to put us into perspective, and to remember that even though the Rabbani Shalom set up a system of the Avodas Hashem, that he does pay sparing, we have to recognize that that itself is a total chesed. The Vision doesn't owe us a thing. Either a person has to understand what it is bechlal that the Vision gets from our Avodah. Where poil means that you're working for him. And the truth of the matter is the reverse. That the only one who really benefits from the Avodas Hashem is the person who's Avodah. To understand how it is that the Rabbani Shalom set it up, now that it's true. Now, avoid it, tzorach avoid. The Rabbani Shalom did set up such a system to enable man, ki'ilu, to do avoid. That means that there is something of meaning. He didn't just say, jump up and down, and run around in circles, and since you did what I want, I'll pay you for it. But he created such a system that there would be meaningful in the Rabbani Shalom's terms. Avoida from man, and that the Rabbani Shalom would be goymel, goymel chesodin toivin. Chesed is not something you're goymel. Chesed is something that you give a person who does a chesed. He didn't earn it, he doesn't need it. Didn't know of anything. I did him a chesed. That's chesed. What's going? Well, going was pain. And I returned. The Rabbani Shalom's chesed is such that he takes his chesodim toivim and he's goymel them. He created a system that we could, quote unquote, earn our keep. And that the chesodim of the Rabbani Shalom will turn into earned chesodim. This is part of the Vaishnava's chesed that enables the Hatava that the Vaishnava wanted in creating the world to be complete, that man should be able to eat earned reward, not something that's given out in embarrassment, not something that's given out as handouts. So the thing is, Yisroich is coming and teaching us, Atiyuk Avodim Mishamshas Ra'as HaManas L'Kavu Pras, the Avodim that are Mishamish Terav with their eyes towards the Pras, Helo Hevuk Avodim Mishamshas Ra'av Sholo HaManas L'Kavu Pras. Or, as the other guess is, HaManas Sholo L'Kavu Pras. The relationship of us in our Avodas Hashem to the Banim Shalom has to be one where we recognize that the goal and the value of our Avodah is not the press. Either because, like we said before, we owe it to the Banim Shalom anyway. Either we have to pay the Banim Shalom for the opportunity and the covenant of being able to do Avodah Hashem. So that is sufficient. Here's another moshel here. So there's a melech kodol, and he has all of his regular sarim and roshei hamelucha around him that do avodosim. So they're all a makabel press for basic melech. Each one gets his schar. But if the melech are traveling around the country and he found somebody in some little village in terrible poverty, removed from any of the sources of power, quality of life, and he recognized in him some value that would be for the Malucha, and he brought him back with him, and he probably made him one of the Anshei HaChotzer, made him one of his advisors. This person would not need any pras. What greater pras would there be? He's been taken out of his low state, and we brought and made one of the top advisors in the Malachas. Klai Yisrael were brought out of Beis HaAvodim, and we were given the opportunity to be Avdei Hashem. Not only did he make us Avodim, the Rabbanim Shalom, but he made us Eved Melech Melech. That's the concept of Eved Melech Melech. It's not just the idea of protection like they have nowadays, but a person who is that intimately involved with Avodas HaMelech, in relationship to the rest of the Am or somebody on a lower level, he is a Melech. And this is the idea of a Malchus Rabbonim. Where's the Malchus of Rabbonim? Where does it come from? And the Rabbonim are the expression of Ritzvein Shemai, personified. And therefore they carry with them, in their essence, the expression of Malchus Hashem. Those of us who are not on their relationship, so we relate to them as Malchim. A Eved Hashem, each person. And this is what we learned in this week's parasha, Taka. The Baal Shem gave us Torah that we should all be Malachim. He gave us the opportunity to be Avdei Hashem. And Eved Hashem is a being raised from a animalistic state of a human being without Hashemah to enable us to come to the glory of the higher form of human existence, which is greater than Malach, which is Man Malchei Rabu, which is Avid Hashem, Eved Melech Melech. We said in the Pasuk that Malach Es Koyanim, each individual Jew doing Avodas Hashem itself is raised to royalty. This itself is the greatest schar, the greatest schus that anybody could wish, and it's certainly a ridiculousness in expecting and requesting and demanding and making that avodah dependent on accepting a paycheck at the end of the day. This is the basic understanding of the Mishnah, so we can call even the surface understanding of the Mishnah. We'd like to take it, it's continuum, it's really the same idea, maybe just on a deeper level. You have here explained in the Mephorshim, in the Maral, the idea itself is expressed almost in all of the Rishonim, each one in his own words. We'll see Rashi, HaKodesh, that's in Mamash, what the other people take pages to say, he says in six words. Shalei toimer ekayim mitzvahs bori, kidei sheyaspik li tzorchai. I shouldn't say that I'm going to do the mitzvahs of the Baruch Shalom in order that he should give me my needs. Elo avoid me'ahavo v'kabel me'ahav. Work me'ahavo and receive me'ahav. True. Vadai, there's an Indian of Scar in the world. The second half of it is also included in the Rashi. But don't make the Avodah dependent on that, making the Avodah secondary to the Schar, but raise to a higher level of Avodah Hashem, avoid Ma'ahavo, and the Schar itself is a Toisefes Ahav. The fact that not only did he allow us to be Avodah, but he rewards us for it too, right? We don't deserve it. We shouldn't accept it. It's not right. We owe everything to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It should be a Menashe Eloi L'Kabbalah for us. Why, b'chol oifen, do we accept it? Because from a father you take what you don't deserve also. The Kabel Me'ahav. Kabel Me'ahav. Not Medin. He doesn't owe it to us. If we would have to stand up and go on the line to collect the paycheck and say, let him pay us, we should run in embarrassment. What the patient owes me? I'm crazy. I'm nuts. There's nothing more limiting, more expression of katnus, expression of lack of understanding, that a person to stand up to the Banishan and say, what is my price? You owe me. Turn over in his grave. Unbelievable embarrassment that a person should have. So we shouldn't accept schar. The Banishan, please, no schar, just that. Just let me be your eved, and that's no schar. So Misha tells us no. Rashi explains. No, we didn't say anything that you shouldn't take pras. You can't do that. The Baruch Hu wants to give us pras. Not only that, Mitzidoi could be the Chol Avodah as a Hecha Timsa to give us the pras. Kabel Me'av. You know why you can take it? Don't stretch your hand and say you deserve it. But the Kabel Me'av. The Baruch Hu is a before we say Shema Yisrael, the Scholar, the Agdama, for us to, in order to accept Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim Ad Mesiras Nefesh, is understanding Oyev Amo Yisrael. The result of that is V'hafta Zeshem Lekech. The Kabbalah of Mesiras Nefesh, Metoicha Ahavo, of understanding that we're going to be Oved Hashem, the Messias Nefesh, without the Kabbal Pras, will bring us to be Mekalubah, that we will recognize that we can be Mekalubah, that there's a dual relationship between the Bein Shalom and Klai Yisrael of Av. Avoid Me'av, v'kabel Me'av. Vadai, there's schar. Vadai, that returning Yisbarach is to give us schar. I heard from Moshe Feinstein Zatzal that he spoke about this Mishnah, and he explained that a person who, it's explained in the Nefesh Chaim, he said also, that a person who really would make the mistake of doing a mitzvah and not wanting schar, so it's not a mind, so. Because only did one of two of it change your mind. The Baruch Hu has a double rotzin in every mitzvah. One, that we should do the mitzvah, and two, that will enable us to enable him to give us schar. Since the Moshim set up the world that there's no free handouts, and all schar has to be earned, he really wants to be made to believe wolf all of his griefs. But he set up that it doesn't work that way. In order to get any atomic liberation, you have to do avodah. You have to have mitzvahs. You have to have tayr. But when the Baruch Hu finally finds somebody doing tayr, now I can be native. Now the Baruch Hu has his rotzen ha'ikri, that he can be native in Bri Yosef. Even by the Mazir. Like Rashi says, even going on by the Mazir. The Baruch Hu doesn't make this world in order to suffer. It's not either this world or next world. The Baruch Hu wants us to have a good in this world also. He will sometimes sacrifice his desire to give us good in this world in order to give us the greater good in the next world. And then sometimes he has to suffer through that suffering because of our aveiros. And he'll suffer that suffering also. But adarabba, the times when we're able, he's able to give us because of a ma'aseh that we did, so we have a double keying of Ritzayin. One, of the mitzvah itself, and two, that this gives an opportunity to the Rebbein Shem to do Iker Ritzayin. And give us the real chayim. This is a chavah nefesh chayim. So he says in his last mahalach here on the Mishnah, "V'namek oyd lahaskul zeh." Since the Ikka Kavan of the Briya was to be mative with his creations, can it be said, Yisakin ki avoida hayoisa hashuva mukubelis tiyamanas lakavu pras? It would come out that the greatest avoida would be in order to give pras, because that's what the main thing of Rishon are in the first place. Ki yavoid amanashi yetiv loi shegim is anachas ruach lafonis bochshmo. He'll do avoda in order that the Rebbein Shalom will have the opportunity to give us the process of what the Rebbein Shalom wants. He has nachas ruach from that. Ach be'emes imechaven be'avodoso yishegil leischar ve'kavanoso yirak kidei shegi mizeh nachas ruach l'shem yizboch shmoy ve'hetivoy imbruov chilek avodosem zehu ha'avoda mula. If a person can come to the level of being oibed amnas l'kabal pras l'shem shemayim, that I want the pras, not because I want the pras, but because I know that I will be a nachas ruach to the punishment. And a person be'emes or betmimus can be mechaven kach, that would be the highest form of avodah. Achenin mechaven hu lahanosa, he avoid apchusa shir zahra mizah. But it's the, if he means only for his own benefit, right? And that's the secondary avodah that where this mission is telling us. You know, it's just three majorities. Normal people, is they're going to mean for Skar than they mean for themselves. So therefore the Mishnah tells us you have to work Lashmo. A higher form of Lashmo would be that a person should work for Skar. Why? Because he knows that that's the Mishnah's design. But in time we can do that Shaloi Lashmo. It's also good. But it's not high Majiga. Rather, this is a very high Majiga. But Abchina was it. He gives you, you can test it out. And this is the next piece after the first piece that we learned from him. Im yoyu la'avoid amanashi yetiv l'chavercho. You work, and I'll give the toif to somebody else. Is that alright? So we just learned before that that's what the Maishom does. To who does he do it to? Only the person that toivet kuru l'shmo. A person who works, that he wants the schar for himself, Maishom won't take it. Give it to somebody else. But a person who's called kulei l'shmo, that even his relationship to pras is not the main motivation for the avoda, but that's part of the system that he understands is a product of Ritzayin Shemayim, and he's more than happy to be part of that. But if the Rebbein Shalom, he would certainly rely on the Rebbein Shalom's judgment, would feel that it's more necessary for the key of ha'olam that the toiv that you deserve should be handed out and split up to little pieces and divided up among the whole populace, it's fine. That person is the one that that's the chanina b'ni. That's the chanina b'ni. That's the tzaddik gomor, the tzaddik yisayt olam, that the whole olam is imit ha'olam. That's the highest majriga. That's the majriga of a person that the Rebbein Shalom could be amazing kol olam kulo yisusay. Because even the hatava, right, that person is relating to is going also to Lishma. And therefore, Mitzidoy could be given to somebody else. Badai, like he says before, there's a cheshvin with that too. A person who's zeichah to be a tzarki soidalim has special chalokim in Ayin Haba. He has a right to take over the chalokim of the Rishoyim in Ayin Haba. He gets paid as a tzarki soidalim, which is a total different matrega. Rishtei tzach, that nothing gets lost. Right? It's a good investment. But it has to be for real. If you do that goofer for the investment, it won't work. But you don't lose. So, unfortunately, we have not gotten to what I had intended to get, a different mahalach of the Mishnah. We're going to try again later next week to complete the Mishnah. So, in time, we only have this basic understanding of the Mishnah, which is true, which is a dover l'shela atzmai, that there's a realization that even though the Rebbeinu Shem does give us schar, he doesn't owe it to us, and that there's much basis for us to be oyved without the schar. Either is schar, kabel ma'av, kabel ma'av. And just to finish the idea of kabel ma'av, in short, it's like just another 2 or 3 minutes. I saw from one of the Talmidei Ramchal, he makes an amazing point, which is something that's very important for every individual. A person should make a cheshbon nefesh, it says. So, do you have any toif? Do you have any toif? Anything good? Should make a list. Now find out that generally it's easy. The person will just gear himself in. They'll have a hard time finishing the list. But filling in a list of 20, 30 major hatovos that he has on the Bnei Shalom should not be a difficult task for anybody. Then he says, why do you think you have this list? He says there are 3 normal answers that people are given and they're all wrong. One is, I deserve it. Look, it says in the Torah. Look, I get up in the morning, I learn Torah, I do this, I do that, I do this, of course I deserve it. What do you think? So that this Mishnah tells it slow. You didn't make the cheshbon so good. Did you check out your Yaveirus? Did you check out all the Hatovah the Persian did? Do you check it out according to the level of the mitzvahs that you do? Are you the level of tzaddik yisayonim? Are you much distant from there? Are the mitzvahs the shmo? Are the mitzvahs betaharosam? Are the mitzvahs timosam? Were the mitzvahs anoshim b'lomodo? Were the mitzvahs that were done betaychaleib also? If you start checking it out, a person wants to put it under the magnifying glass of I deserve it. A person with a circle minimum level of seichel hayasha will come to the conclusion that I deserve it is not a very good answer. There are those who make the opposite mistake, and if they feel chas v'sholim that it must be that I did some meisim tovim, and the Bnei is paying up my meisim tovim, my honest. Chas v'sholim, he says, a person should never think such a thing. That is the worst form of din, that only the worst v'sholim, chas v'sholim, are given. That's total sin. The Rebbeinu Shalom wants to make sure this person is totally destroyed. And therefore, in this world, he builds him up on a Shemayim. In the next world, there's going to be nothing left there. Chas v'sholom, a person should never think that the Rebbeinu Shalom is giving what we have, the toiv that we have, l'ra'a seinu. Matzavim, yuchodim, it's maximum, it might be a getter of nesoyim, right? But that wasn't l'ra'a seinu, but that's it. And that still needs the toiv that if you used it and it came out that it was good, still need an answer why you're having the toiv. So he says the third, hopefully, he says the first two a person will reject. That's out of hand. And since a person doesn't know the right answer, so most people unfortunately come to the conclusion that I have it b'mikra. While the Bnei Shem wasn't looking, I made a good investment and I got a good buy in the apartment, I have an apartment, Baruch Hashem. I enticed my wife in the dates, and I got a wife, and I did this, and I Baruch Hashem, I got away with it. I have a virus, and I have this, and I have that. I don't know. But, see, I got away with it. I have it. It's not talk about it. because Chas V'Shalom, maybe somebody come with the record books, I'm going to have to give an accounting, and I don't think I deserve it. I just hopped it. And there is such an idea. I'm not going to go into it now, but there is such an idea. A person could live. You can grab things. You could grab things. No, that's he gave the man to make the opportunity to make that ultimate mistake too. If you want to grab, the Malaysian will let you grab. Like Homer. That's one of the classical examples given Hazal. He grabbed an awful lot of riches. He was one of the richest people in the world. He really put a lot of money together. You know what was done with it? He worked very, very hard to build a piece of Mikdash. He thought he was earning it himself. But there's a problem. Bungisha still runs the world. And if you grab, he lets you grab. Until you finish grabbing, then he takes it back. At the end of the day, it may be the last day of your life, like Homer's day, you'll find out that it was all you thought you were grabbing. There's somebody else who runs the world. He'll let you grab until the up to the last, fortune is the one who the Bungisha takes what he grabbed away from him earlier. Sometimes that you won't go that way to the end, to the bitter end. But in the bitter end, you're going to find out that you didn't do a thing. You can't. So then why do we have a Tovah? Why do we have all this Tovah? So he says the answer is because the Avinu Avarachaman Oyev Eslanu V'Noh